And I know that all of you men have been to the circus or have been to a carnival and have seen those talented people who can walk along the tightrope. And you probably noticed that in order for them to walk that tightrope, they need to have an extraordinary amount of balance. And that's what we'd like to talk to you about this afternoon, the balance in the Christian life. And as the tightrope expert would walk along, he has for himself either one of these large poles that he uses to give him balance or an umbrella in many cases. And once in a while, he goes along the tightrope without anything, just using his arm for balance. But he does need something to give him that extraordinary amount of balance that he might cross with safety to the other side and return. And in our thinking and our deliberations this afternoon about the balance in the Christian life, I'd like to say to begin with, and if you remember nothing else that's said in all of this conference, I would like for you to remember this, that the balance that we all have for our Christian life is the Holy Spirit. This is the substance, this is the person, this is the instrument, this is the equipment by which you and I can have perfect balance in our Christian life. Now, that doesn't mean that we are going to be perfect in ourselves, because in ourselves we cannot be perfect. We can only be perfect when that one, Jesus Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is living his life out through us and living on the throne of our life with complete authority in our life. But we know through logic and we know through our own personal experience that this does not happen all the time, and so we become unbalanced in our Christian life. And I'd like to use a scriptural text this afternoon for our deliberation from the Gospel according to St. Mark in the 11th chapter. And I'd like to put our discussion into four different parts: balance in home, balance in our business, balance in our social life, and balance in our church or our Christian outreach life. But for our scriptural deliberation, turn to the 11th chapter of Mark, and we begin with the 11th verse, which says, "And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if aptly, that he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it into a den of thieves. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all of the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and you shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. I think that this scripture indicates a great deal to us. And I think that we need to take a look at it, that we might see that we as individuals, that we as Christian men, and by the way, the very future of the world in which we live is in your hands. And that you and I have the power available in our lives to change the existing and predominant trend of world events. We have the perfect balance in Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit available to us and in our lives to live our lives on. And we are the bodies. We are the temples for the Holy Spirit to move and to have His being in. Now, what does this mean that we are to do? First of all, in order that we might have some balance, we have to come to that place in our own personal experience where we invite, by an act of our will, Jesus Christ to come into our life. And by so doing, we have available to us the power that was in the creation, the power that was in the resurrection, and the power that shall be when He comes again. This is available to us. The next step is to appropriate that power in our life and step out and begin to live our everyday life on those things that we know to be true, claiming the promises and using up the power. Now let's begin in church. The first thing that the Scripture teaches us today is that Jesus, after He had come into Jerusalem, went back to Bethany, and as was His custom, He sought the Father in prayer to guide Him in the deliberations and the things that He should do. He came back to Jerusalem, and He went into the temple, and He cleansed the temple. Now listen to what He said was wrong with the temple. He said, first of all, the business of the church is not to entertain. The business of the church is not to indulge in trafficking or in business. The business of the church is today, as it has always been, an instrument by which God can save and nurture men, that they might know Him, that they might grow in Him, and that they might go out in Him to witness to the world. No, that's not right. It's almost right. But we, out in the world witnessing, are nothing but inadequate fools. It goes like this. The church is an instrument of God to bring men to salvation, to build men up in Christ, and nurture them, and to send them out that Jesus Christ might witness through them to the world. It's His witness, not ours. How are we unbalanced? We're unbalanced and we're out trying to witness through our own flesh. We're out trying to witness in our own ingenuity. And our witness comes out of us and it falls right before us. But it's when Jesus Christ is witnessing His power through us that it becomes a powerful thing. And the balance in our witness becomes vital. Men, we need to come to the realization that it's Jesus Christ, it is the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are claiming that promise which He gave to His apostles, that we are capable of doing, yea, greater things than He has done because He has gone to the Father, and because He went to the Father, that His Father would send another Comforter, which is more of Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit, to dwell in our lives and to give witness through us to the world. We need to have the balance of Jesus Christ witnessing through us to the world and get out of the way In order for that one who walks the tightrope to walk out on that wire, he needs to have the balance. Yes, he's the instrument, but the Holy Spirit is giving the balance and giving, yea, the witness. Now, what else does it say about the problem that we find in the churches today? Jesus said when he saw the temple or the church, he said, I will not put up with any more foolishness here, for this is of all nations a house of prayer and a house of worship. Now, you and I are responsible for the watering down that has gone on in our churches. The church was indulging itself in all types of foolishness. Entertainment, trafficking, business. The Lord says, this is a place of worship. This is a place of prayer. You and I are responsible for allowing, for putting up with the foolishness of watering down the message of the church. We are not to entertain people. What did the messenger that John the Baptist sent to Jesus say? He came to Jesus and said, John wants to know if you are the one. Are you the one sent from God, or shall we look for another? Jesus said to that messenger, you go and tell John that the blind you see, that the lame are walking. And what? That we're giving handouts to the poor? No. That we are engaged in do-good projects? No. He says, go back and tell them that the gospel is being preached to the poor. Our business is to preach the gospel through your ministry. So we have the responsibility as laymen for what's going on in the name of the Christian church. And boy, fellas, we better get on the stick. We better start demanding that this house of worship, this house of prayer, that this house of worship and this house of prayer is what it's intended to be. And then it says one other thing. It says here that those religious leaders sought how they might destroy the master because the people were astonished at his doctrine. How's the balance of doctrine in your life? Do you have the balance of doctrine in your life? Or are we, as so many, involved in arguing and bickering about the fringe things than that of holding up Jesus that he might draw all men unto himself? Are we so unbalanced that we're over here arguing with this group or that group as to whether or not we should stand up, sit down, bow down, or involved in all types of legalistic and ritualistic forms, that we miss the thing that it is to glorify God the Father? How's the balance in this department? Can you walk the tightrope of being able to work in a cooperative effort to make Jesus known? Can you work in a cooperative effort that he might be held up and that Jesus Christ, the Son, might be portrayed as that Son of God who is the Savior of the world and the Lord of life? Or are we going to continue on to walk in the mud when Jesus says you don't have to be of the world, you can be above the world? And you can walk with me. And then, how is our ministry of playing the game? Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, saw the fig tree. He walked over to the fig tree expecting that on that fig tree would be some figs. Why? Because when a fig tree has leaves, it should also have figs. The fruit comes with the leaves. Are we walking the tightrope, ready to fall, because we're waving our leaves in the breeze, giving all of the outward appearances of having fruit, but there's none there? Are we so filled with all of the pious phrases of the Christian that as soon as one comes into our presence, they said, well, I guess he's a Christian. He certainly sounds like one, and he certainly appears to be one, but when they get to know us, do they know us by the fruit that we're bearing? How's the balance in the fruit-bearing part of our lives? We need to be cooperating. We need to be having a ministry in our church and with other Christians. We need to also be very well aware of the problem that the laymen are having with the pastors. I've been convicted just recently of my problem about pastors. Man, I'd eat them up alive and spit them out. Chew them up. Critical. Because they weren't dancing the tune that I wanted them to dance to. But as laymen, we have a ministry with our pastor. How's the balance in your relationship with your pastor? Are you praying with him? Are you encouraging him? Are you standing forth and saying, sorry, fella, I can't go along with you on that, but let's get together and pray together and work together on the things that we can go along with, and let's stop fighting. Let's stop bickering. Let's stop complaining. And let's start moving forward as a balanced unit to hold up the master. And then we have our social life. Now I'd like to, in these other parts of our time together, I'd like to share with you some of the things that have happened in my life and have happened in my ministry. And some of the problems that I've been faced with, and some of the problems I know that you're faced with. We need, as Christian men, to have a very positive ministry in our social life. And we need to get this thing in balance, because this is one of the things that's turning unbelieving people away from Christianity, is because we are not having that program or that portrayal of the real joy and the real security in our Christian life, especially in the area of our social life. One of the things that I'd like to suggest that we do is to take a look at our social life and see exactly what it is that we're indulged in the way of having fellowship with both believers and unbelievers in our neighborhood and throughout the community in which we live. What do you do when you have a party? Have a party for Jesus' sake. But don't say that, because some of the folks won't come. Don't say it when you begin. Let me tell you some of the exciting things that have happened in our social life since we began to have a social life that glorified Christ, that held him up, and that presented in a winsome and an articulate way what the Christian family couple can really do and can really have in a social life. We have a party at the drop of a hat for any excuse, birthday, coming home, going away, anything. And we invite in our social life some Christians, and we also invite into this group or into our social group those that we have been concerned for, that they might see the joy and the hilariousness of being a Christian. Do you know what most people, when you really ask them, what is your concept of a born-again, Bible-reading, witnessing Christian? And they said, he's a complete bore. He's pious. He's a hypocrite. He's long-faced. And worse than that, he's a withdrawer. Oh. Are you withdrawn from society? You know, the worst thing I've heard of lately is a group of Christians who formed a church and they call it separateness. What a foolish thing to do. Separate yourself from the community in which you live. Man, what we need to do is to drop down a live one and let him wiggle. Let him wiggle. Let him laugh. Let's have some fun in the name of Jesus. And that's what we do at these parties. Have some fun in the name. We laugh. We sing. We have fellowship. And people get saved. It sneaks right up on their blind side. It sneaks up on them on their fun side of life. You don't have to go around with a great big old black Bible. You don't have to sit there and pretend. Take the mask off and relax. And have a social life that's dynamic. And tear down that wall that says that a Christian is withdrawn. And it's a world of don'ts and a world of do's. A world of legalistic, ritualistic, walking the straight and narrow. The Christian social life is a life of freedom in Christ. Because you see, you have the freedom to say no to booze. You have the freedom to stand in any situation and say, I'm free from the taints. I'm free from the obligation. I'm free from the foolishness of being involved in the peripheral, in the fringe things of life. I have life because it was a promise to me more abundantly. Do you have a social balance with Jesus Christ in your life? You can't walk that tightrope in your social life. You can't walk the middle road. You got to get on the tightrope with Jesus and walk straight across, even in your social life. And you take him in your life. And he says, let's go, brother. And he says, it's filled. It's filled to overflowing with joy. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you have the balanced, abundant life socially? And you know what that means? That means that for the rich, money is not a problem to be displayed socially. And for the poor, it's not something to whine over because you don't have... You know, one of the problems with poor Christians is they have a tendency to whine, well, I don't have anything. I don't have all of the things that other people have. I've heard this a jillion times. They get to whining when the Lord said, all that you need is me. I'm your sufficiency in all things. Now for the fella... The Christian who's got a lot of money. You know, his money to be displayed socially is worthless. You can't buy anything. You couldn't buy a friend if you wanted one. All you can buy is a nodder. Yeah, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. But a friend you can't buy. In the freedom in Christ, you pour all these things socially into one bucket. And out comes that jumping, wiggling, vibrant Christian personality. Balanced. He neither needs money, position, or excitement to salve his emotions. For he has it all in Jesus Christ. The most wealthy, the most satisfying, balancing force in all of the world. That one that came that we might have life more abundantly. Now, what about in our business life? If you're a businessman or a professional man, it is imperative that you make money. Does that sound non-Christian? You know, there's so many people going around saying it's a sin to make money. But brother, if you're in business, you better be making some money. You better have a profit motive. You better be generating some volume through your business. And one of the worst witnesses, the most unbalanced witnesses that a businessman can have, is to be slothful in his business. We need to have businessmen who are vital, witnessing, fundamental, doctrinally sound businessmen who are good businessmen. And we need to have that balance. And Jesus Christ, again, is that balance. And he is that balance because he frees you from the unimportant things and he gives you the quality to concentrate where concentration is necessary. And it's his power in you that can give you an enormous amount of business acumen that you might be able to build your business and work in it more profitably. And then you have in your business the responsibility to have a balanced witness through that business in your employees and into the customers that you have relations with. And that comes when you're grounded on the fact that the one who lives in you will not put up with any shenanigans. And when there's shenanigans, there is not Christ in your business. They just don't go along. And you can look at one who knows all about it. You cannot have Christ in your business and have any type of foolishness going on. Because he says, I will not tolerate it. And if you want to let me run your business, I'll run it to the glory of God. And men, this business of being Christian businessmen is a heck of a lot more than just a name or a phrase, Christian businessman. It means right down to the washing of the floors and to the balance sheet into the profit and loss statement that every one of those is in his name. But look out. Look out if you want to play that game. Look out if you're going to invite him in. He'll wear you out. He'll wear you out. And he'll give you more power than you can know what to do with. But you've got to make sure that it's him that's doing it. Now, I can give you a word of testimony on this because, listen, I've been involved in so many things. So many going, so many coming. You need to have that balance. Now, our time's running out. We've got to hurry because we want to talk about the home a little bit. What time we break up here? 2:30?
3 o'clock.
Break up at 3 o'clock. Great. In our home now, and we're going to come back and touch on a couple of these other points just a little bit later. In our home, what is the most important, well, now I'm not going to say most important, what is the number one problem that faces most families? Money. Money. Don't say you're against it. The boy without it, you're sunk. in some form. We need to have money to run our homes on. We need to have money in order to exist. But the thing is, where does money fit in to your home life? First, the making of money in the home. Is there a balance here? Or are we engaged, as I was engaged for many, many years, in most of my waking hours, trying to make money? With the excuse that I need it to provide for my family. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Except I was spending all of my time trying to make the money. What happened? Bob over here was bragging about having three boys. I've got five daughters. The oldest one's 18, and the youngest one's a year and a half. So I've got to make some money. But my 18-year-old daughter is grown now. You know that I never got to know her. Never really got to know her. Why? I was chasing the buck. I'd do almost anything to get her back. To spend some time with her. But you know what happened to me since the time when I was chasing the dollar? I got saved. Yeah, I got saved. Then you know what happened to me? I started chasing a ministry. And I've almost missed my 16-year-old daughter. Last year... I spoke over 100 times that I know of. That's better than two a week. I don't even know how many conferences like this I was in. But boy, 65 ain't going to be like that. I'm learning a very, very difficult lesson. I learned it about money, and last month I sold one of my businesses, the one that produced most of the income. I've drawn back to one. Just since really our Greenville seminar a few weeks ago, I've realized what a hold my ministry has had on my life. And it's been good, but it's out of balance. Going over 100 times a year, even though it's local, much of it, most of it, is too much. From the first of this year through May, I had 8 conferences scheduled. I would have canceled this one, except it was too close. And I didn't want to do that to my old brother, Gene Moore. Because we about worked him to death. But I canceled the rest of them. 5 of them. Because I was unbalanced. I was unbalanced in my relationship to my family, to my business, and to my ministry. And the Lord didn't want that. And do you know who was getting most of the glory in the ministry? Old Bob Finn. Do you know who was getting most of the glory in the business? Old Bob Finn. Do you know what was happening in my family life? My kids were growing up. And they were growing right by me. And I didn't get to know them. Now you say, well, you're a fool. Yes. take it from a guy who's already walked that road. Seek the face of the Father. How would you have me to balance out my life, my ministry, my business, and my family? Now, the making of money was important. My ministry was important. But so are my kids. So is my wife. Do you know that for many years I was chasing around the country, doing good things at conferences? Yes, even having a fruitful ministry. The Lord's blessed me with seeing much fruit. But one day I woke up to the fact that my wife didn't like my ministry. Do you know why? I'd come home and I'd say, give me something to eat, I've got to be off to Tara. Give me something to eat, I've got to be over here. I'm going over to Fort Worth tonight. I'd go. I didn't come home and say, darling, the Lord has given us an opportunity to give a witness in Fort Worth. Let's pray it through. Man, a guy called me on the phone. I said, I'll be there. And I was there in the flesh. But my wife was becoming embittered with the fact that I was on the go. In a good cause, in the name of the Lord. But we weren't having any prayer time together. She did everything with the kids. She had all of the family devotion with the kids. So now we've cut it down. When we go together. Brother, what a time. What a magnificent time. Going together. A balanced ministry. A balanced business life. A balanced home life. This morning in our seminar, when we talked about quiet time, we made a discovery, the fellows that were together. Do you know what we discovered? We didn't have a quiet time. You know what else we discovered? God wasn't having an opportunity to get inside of our life and fill us up with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we discovered one thing else. The reason that there's no real thrust for Christ in the world is because we're not in Him and giving Him a chance to get into our lives and to make us something powerful. We communicate in business. I tell my folks what I want them to know. I tell them what I expect of them. I tell them what they're responsible for. I tell them where to move and where to go. They tell me what their problems are. They tell me what their frustrations are. They tell me what their needs are. And what their needs are in my responsibility and relationship to them. And I shared with the fellows today, I can't live without having some real, quiet, personal, intimate time with my sweetheart. I got to be alone with her. I got to feel her close to me. She's got to feel close, that I'm close to her. That's the kind of relationship the quiet time can give us. It's that intimate, personal relationship where God needs to feel us responding to Him. And we need to feel Him speaking and empowering us and imbuing us with that perfect power to get things done. I never miss a meal. I never miss taking a shower every day. That was good. Getting clean. I never miss going to bed and getting up. All of the things that are absolutely necessary for this old $1.95 carcass to go on. But we need to have that personal, intimate relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit every day. I'm convicted of it. And what a fool. You know the reason that it's been difficult in my life? Because I was just going and going and going and going and going, and I never stopped long enough to catch up. Never stopped long enough where my emotions could settle down, where my mind could quit whirling and just settle down and be peaceful. He just can't get in through that old whirlwind. We need to have that balanced relationship. Your marriage isn't going to last. Your business isn't going to be what it can be without that power generated through the Christian or through you to those around you. We need to get in balance. And we need to get in balance as quickly as possible. Now, we could go on for probably another hour. This is an inexhaustible area. But let me close with just the last portion of the scripture that we have today. It says in verse 18 that those chief priests, scribes, feared the Lord and wanted to destroy him because of his doctrine. What was his doctrine? Fill people with the Holy Spirit. Cleanse. Rejuvenate, send out. That was his doctrine. They were afraid of that. And then it says, the Lord says, have faith in God. That's his doctrine. Pretty simple. Have faith in God, period. Didn't say have faith in God and run over here and pull this lever, run over there and push that button. Have faith in God. Abide. Stop. This is your resting place. This is your rock. This is the beginning point. Faith in God. Believing. Believing. Know what that word means? It means wrapping yourself up in Jesus Christ. It means adhering to, just like wallpaper to a wall, sticking to it. It's just like paint on a wall, just right up against it, adhering to. Wrapping yourself up in, relying on, trusting in. Have faith in God, believing that He will do what He promised to do. Make you a powerful witness in Christ. I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. He said, believe in prayer. Believe, do you have a balanced prayer life? You know, a balanced prayer life isn't saying, Lord, I want you to take my business and make it a vital business. Then getting up from your knees or walking away and saying, I wonder if you'll do it. Believing prayer life is where you pray and say, okay, Lord, here I go. I believe you're going to do it, and here I go. I'm stepping out on the first rock. He says, there's a very swift stream. It's deep. It's difficult. That's a stream of life. You say, well, Lord, I want to pray and ask you that you'll take me through the stream of life without any difficulties. He said, well, there's a difficulty right there. That stream's deep. You've got to go to the other side. He said, well, Lord, I can't get across the stream because it's too swift and I'll drown. I'll die there. The water's cold and I don't see any way to get across. He said, step out. He said, but you didn't hear me, Lord. The stream's deep. It's swift. I can't swim and it's cold and I'm not going to get across to the other side. Help me. Pray. He said, believe that I'll do what I said I'd do. I'll get you across. Step out. And you say, yes, sir. And you step out and behold, there's a rock there. Or as the children of Israel stood on the shore of Jordan, he said, bring the ark. He said, man, look up and step out. They looked up and stepped out and the ground was dry. You know, dusty boots across the Jordan at the swollen time of the season. He said, you want to go through life? Look up and step out. But I can't do anything with you if you're going to ask and not believe. I'm sorry, but I can't do anything with you if you don't really believe. Look up and step up. You have a balanced prayer life. And the balanced prayer life is asking and stepping out. Asking on this side, and the balance is stepping out in faith on this side. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. Brothers, we have got to change our attitude. And, you know, the attitude today is, okay, brother, I forgive, but I'll never forget. He said, forgive. And why if you're not going to forgive, he said, you're in trouble. He says, I can't use you. Back to the back of the pack. Sorry, I can't use you. He says, forgive. And then we can use you. It breaks the heart of God to be acting like a Christian, to be even talking like a Christian, but to have no fruit. It breaks the heart of God to be engaged in Christian activities in His church, but to be indulging yourself in entertainment and trafficking. He said, this is where we pray together. We worship together, and when we build you up in Christ, you need a balanced life. As a witnessing Christian, you need a balanced life in your organization or your church life. And he says, I can't use you. It breaks God's heart, unbelieving prayer. And it breaks his heart with unforgiving nature. What shall we have? Shall we have the normal Christian life? It says, ye are in the world, but you're not of the world. Your feet may be in the mud, but your heart is in the heavens. The power of the Holy Spirit is the only balancing factor in all of the Christian life. Let Him, the Holy Spirit, come in, take over, and go out through you, and then let His witness be the witness to the world. And you can stand by and be that unusual creation of God, the vessel, which isn't a bad position to hold in life.